We were supposed to have services today for the third Wednesday in Lent, the midweek service. Of course, services today were canceled. But I want to still present to you the meditation that was prepared for today. 2 weeks ago, I introduced to you a persistent contrast that is made throughout the scriptures through the image of trees. In the Garden of Eden, there were two trees, one that leads to death and the other that gives life. Abraham and Sarah, along with their son Isaac and grandson Jacob and their families, lived among the great oak trees of Mamre, where they were blessed and visited by God, who gave children in their old age and promises beyond measure, versus Lot and his family, who lived down in the valley near the Dead Sea, in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, which were evil and were destroyed. Living trees signify God's blessings, and dead trees are his curse. Now, last week we heard about Gideon, who was approached by an angel, not surprisingly, under the great tree at Ophrah. There is God, once again, giving blessings near living trees. In contrast, there were the wooded poles of the goddess Asherah, which Gideon was to pull down and destroy. Again, the living tree associated with life and blessings versus the dead tree, the Asherah pole, associated with curses and death. So we see how it is that Jesus is identified as the tree of life because he was the living God who brought forgiveness, life, and eternal salvation by overcoming that dead, cursed tree, which was his cross. You might say that on Good Friday, the tree of life is hung on the tree of death, and we wait to see which one overcomes the other. Of course, the images abound in the Bible, as the first Psalm compares the man who is blessed to the tree which has been transplanted to be by streams of water, whose roots run deep and whose leaves never wither, as opposed to the wicked who dry up, die, and are burned. And remember, Jesus is saying, I am the vine and you are the branches. And we learn that those who are connected to Jesus will bear good fruit. These images between living trees and dead and dying trees and plants is a contrast that's found throughout scriptures. Well, in today, the readings that we would have had, we have not two trees, but one tree. One tree that goes from living to dead to living again. It's called the tree of Jesse. Jesse, of course, was the father of David, who would become the great king of the Israelites, the mighty man who defeated the Lord's enemies. The youngest son of a shepherd herder, this David, would start by killing the Philistine giant Goliath. And from there, his conquests would just keep building. David trusted God. He wrote psalms and danced before the Lord in the tabernacle. He established the city of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. But since David had been a mighty man of war, he would not be allowed to be the one to build the temple. It would be David's son Solomon. You might say that through David, God established the nation of Israel as powerful among the other nations. But it was Solomon who asked God for the wisdom to govern wisely. Under Solomon's rule, Israel would become noticed around the world for more than its power, but also for being the city of the great temple of the Lord. Solomon, and thus all Israel, became well-known, rich, and influential. This is what God did through the son and grandson of Jesse. So the saying that Jesse's family tree had become a mighty oak, a massive, powerful, deep-rooted family tree. And this is because Jesse and his family were rooted in God himself. See how the language just continues? Maybe David was even thinking about his own father Jesse when he wrote, Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, or stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. If that's how David saw his father, then the success of David and his son Solomon were indeed the result of his father rooting his life in God. But it wouldn't always be so. The kings that followed David and Solomon went from bad to worse. In their wickedness, that is, in their turning to other gods, they were no longer rooted in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so they dried up, and eventually they were cut down. The kings of the north were utterly destroyed by the Assyrians, and the kings of the south were beaten, and the people taken captive into Babylon. God had even warned them through the prophets, as we heard in the first reading that was assigned for today. But they weren't listening. This massive, powerful, honored family tree of Jesse was about to be cut down by the nations. Only a stump would be left, the memory of what Israel had been. But God also promised, as we heard, would have heard in the second reading, that this would not be the end. The stump was still rooted in God. And from that stump would come a shoot. Shoots, you know, are small and tender and vulnerable. But it would grow until eventually it would put out a branch. And one day that branch would bear fruit again. So God is the root from which Jesse's family tree became great and powerful as long as it stayed connected to the root. Apart from the root, apart from God, the subsequent generations got themselves cut down, hence the stump. But God, the root, remained, and his blessings could not be destroyed. God is life itself, and there would be those descendants who would remain connected, no longer mighty and honored, but blessed still the same. The faithful descendants of Jesse, David, and Solomon were the shoot which would spring up from the stump of Jesse. And it would be through that shoot, the continuation of Jesse's line, the line of David and Solomon, that God would ultimately bring Jesus. So Jesus is that branch which would bear fruit. And you, you're the fruit. That is, you are the result of Jesus' faithfulness, that is, his connectedness to the Father. The image of this tree and its root, the trunk, the branch, and the fruit. God is the root. The line of Jesse was the trunk, once mighty, then cut down. But the tender shoot would keep growing until Jesus, the Son of God and the Son of David. About Jesus, John wrote, "In him was life." In John's Gospel, we hear Jesus say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." That is, we are connected to Jesus, who in turn connects us to the Father, the source of all life. So maybe you can see the connections then between the tree of life and the tree that brought death in the Garden of Eden. Jesus is the tree of life. He must be hung upon the dead tree, the cross, to see which would overcome. Well, the Father knew and Jesus knew, but now we know that Jesus has destroyed death. I could, of course, go on for hours and hours on this, but I think you have enough to hopefully get an aha about what is going on when Jesus is put on that cross. The examples and the prophecies concerning trees, they're not just a literary device that only a poetry expert could love. They give us a way to see and understand who Jesus is and what Jesus is doing. And if you search the scripture for references to trees and roots and branches and leaves and fruit, you'll see it's all about the living is connected to God. What is not connected to God is dead. Jesus is our connection to real life from God. Living tree, dead tree. Jesus defeats death upon its cross. Next week, we'll extend the analogy to twigs and branches and seeds and seedlings. And then in 2 weeks, we'll look at what happens with us, the seedlings and the fruit that we bear. You see, this is the picture language, which is everywhere in the Bible. And learning to see it can be very helpful. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.